One of the first things you notice if you read this particular text in different translations is that some of the translations say that Jesus sent out 70, and some translations say that Jesus sent out 72. Could they just not count? No. The reason for this is that both numbers are highly symbolic. About half the manuscripts say 70, about half say 72. Those that say 70 seem to be referring to the 70 persons that Moses chose to serve as his advisors and helpers when he was in the wilderness and the job just got to be too great for him, for any one person. So in a sense, Jesus is the new Moses sending out 70 of his helpers. In the time of Jesus, though, there were considered that there were 72 nations in the known world. And so some of the translations seem to be saying that Jesus was sending out enough to cover the whole world, to all nations. Whether it was 70 or 72, the remarkable thing about these people is that they were all apostles. Oh, no, you're thinking there are only 12 apostles. Apostle means one who is sent. And what does Jesus do to these folks, all 70 or 72? He sends them out. In fact, the same term could apply to us, couldn't it? Because God sends us out. Remember, we're still on this pilgrimage. If you look at your bulletin insert, it has some information about the particular stage of the pilgrimage that we happen to be on at this point. We are people who are sent out by God. But this particular text tells us what we're set out to be a part of. Because you see, don't spread this around. Jesus is starting a revolution. Now, he's doing it in a really weird way. I mean, if you're going to start a revolution, you stockpile arms, right? If you're going to start a revolution, you learn how to build bombs. You get on the internet and you learn how to build bombs. Or you strap bombs around your waist, or you know how to plant them and put them where cars will run over them. But that's not what Jesus does at all. No. His revolution is a peaceful revolution. His revolution was already started by God. It's called the kingdom of God or the reign of God. God is already doing it, and Jesus is just sending out 70 or 72 people to help God get the revolution going. And notice what they do. They don't take anything with them. Not only do they not take weapons, they don't take a bag, they don't take a purse, they can't even take sandals. Good grief. They go out like those Buddhist monks with just a beggar's bowl. And they are to accept and receive and eat whatever is placed in their bowl. They go out with nothing except one message. Any house you go to, Jesus says, you say, shalom. Peace be upon this house. Shalom doesn't just mean peace. Shalom is the word that describes the way God intended all of creation to be in the first place. That's what the kingdom of God is. God is redoing creation in the way God intended it to be in the first place. And we get to be a part of that revolution. The problem with God's redo of this is that it turns upside down all the established institutions that have so much invested in the way things are already. So they're sent out with nothing. They're told to eat whatever they're given. Whatever house they walk into, they offer their peace. If people will receive that peace, that's wonderful. If they don't, that's okay. It returns to them. You can't coerce someone to receive a blessing. You can't coerce someone to receive a message of peace. That would be antithetical to the very message itself. You simply offer it as a gift. Those who can receive the gift, receive it. Those who can't, you just carry it along to someone else who can. There will be those who welcome you, Jesus says, and whatever they put in front of you, you eat, just like those Buddhist monks. Don't go from house to house to house thinking, well, the food's a little better over here, the accommodations are a little better over there. No, 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 no. Wherever you've received hospitality, you remain there. And when you go to a place and they have received you and offered you hospitality, you are to say, the reign of God has come near you. You offer that additional blessing, right? What God is doing in the world has passed right through your midst. You're invited to join in this peaceful revolution. But if you go to a town and they reject you, this is what you say. The reign of God has come near you. You say the same thing. Remember last week, the disciples were wanting to call down fire on a village that rejected Jesus, rejected offering hospitality to Jesus. He doesn't work that way. That's not this kind of revolution. That's the other kind. Those that receive you, you say, the reign of God has come near you. Those that reject you, you say, the reign of God has come near you. And you leave God to judge who has received it and who hasn't. This is the most amazing revolution in the world because it's still going on, isn't it? The church hasn't always been on the right side of that revolution. Too often we've been on the side that wanted to take up arms instead of offer peace. Too often we have been on the side that would call down fire on someone who rejected us instead of saying, the reign of God has come near you. Well, when they get back, these 70 or 72 have been amazingly successful. When they come back, they are really jazzed. They're saying, hey, even the demons submit to us. Even the evil spirits submit to us. We are really something. That never happened before. Not before Jesus sent them out. And Jesus said, you shouldn't be surprised at that because you see, this revolution has already won. Because it's God's. I have seen Satan fall like lightning from the sky, Jesus says. Evil has been defeated. Not evil will be defeated someday. For Jesus, the understanding is the word of God's peace, God's revolution in the world, has already defeated evil. Oh, there'll be resistance. Sometimes a defeated army is more dangerous than an active one. Through guerrilla actions, through subterfuge, but evil has been defeated. And don't be happy that you can do amazing, miraculous things. Jesus says, just be happy that you can be a part of God's revolution. Just be happy that you can go into houses and say, peace be with you. And if they reject you, you don't have to do anything in return other than receive your peace back. If you go someplace, you can say, the reign of God has come near you. And if they reject you, you don't have to do them any harm. You don't have to reject them. You say to them the same thing you say to those who receive you. God is at work in your midst. That's what we're sent to do. You and I are apostles to be a part of this revolution that has continued to go on all these years. And it's not that we do miraculous things. Often it's very simple things that we do. We simply return good for evil. We return love for hate. Jesus said, I send you out as lambs among wolves. He knew the danger he was sending his followers out into. Have you ever seen those nature shows where wolves tear lambs to pieces? Jesus knew what happened to lambs when the shepherd wasn't there to keep the wolves away. He was very aware of the dangers, but he also knew that God had already won. That this revolution had already been established and was at work in the world, sometimes in the simplest of ways. I had a conversation with a group of folks yesterday, and it reminded me of an experience in which I felt like I had been sent out as a lamb among wolves. This was 1973. I was on my way to seminary. I had just bought my first car. I was 22 years old. In my culture, in my time, you did not get a car at 16. You got a car when you could afford to buy your own car. And so I was driving to seminary in Evanston, Illinois, and to get there, I had to drive the Dan Ryan Expressway right through Chicago. And that traffic and those drivers felt to me like I was a lamb among wolves. I tell you what, I never met such an aggressive group of people in my life. Oh my gosh, I was going way too slowly, and I was going 5 miles over the speed limit. It was crazy, and it didn't get any better. If I could have gotten off the Dan Ryan and gone home, I would have, but I only knew how to get one place. I got to the seminary, and I very cautiously began to drive again around Chicago, and it wasn't any better. If you were not away from a stoplight before it changed, you'd hear honking horns behind you. I didn't know what to do. Back where I came from, people honked at you if they knew you. And so I would just wave, which probably didn't improve the disposition of the person who was already angry with me. I didn't know what to do, though. It took me a long time to adjust. In fact, I had some friends at Northwestern who had grown up in Chicago who did not have driver's licenses. They didn't need them. Public transportation was so good, and driving and parking was so difficult. They were a hindrance rather than a help. But then after a few years, I'd find myself coming back to Nashville for annual conference. And driving down West End Avenue, these people were driving way too slow. And they didn't get away from the stoplight quickly enough. I don't know what they were thinking, but apparently I had become enculturated into the culture of wolves. That's what Jesus doesn't want to happen. We are sent out as sheep among wolves, but we are not to become wolves. We remain sheep. The conversation that triggered this memory was about impatience, about being impatient driving. And a whole group of people were talking. A lot of these narratives had to do with driving to the airport and how people were driving too slowly in both lanes, and they didn't get out of the way quickly enough, and they didn't let you in, and lots of complaints about being impatient with other drivers. Until one fellow spoke up, and I have permission to tell this, one fellow spoke up and said, I want to tell that story from the other car. He said, I was out on the interstate a while back. Traffic was heavy. A driver wanted to get in front of me, and there wasn't room. I couldn't make room to let them in, but they thought I was intentionally keeping them out. So they slowed down enough to get right next to me, and the driver held up a hand with a single finger raised. And I just waved. Well, it didn't stop there. Every time the driver came even with me, that hand came up and that finger came up again. Every time that finger came up, I just waved. It didn't stop there. The driver went around to the other side, to the right side of the other lane, and used the other hand and the other finger. And I just waved. Said, finally, the other driver was ready to exit. And as the other driver exited, I noticed that instead of one finger, as the car pulled off the exit, a hand went up and there was a wave. You see, you don't overcome hostility with hostility. You don't overcome evil with evil or hate with hate. You overcome hate with good. You overcome evil with good. You overcome hostility with love and gentleness and kindness. I send you out as sheep among wolves, Jesus said. But don't worry, and don't become a wolf, whatever you do. The reason you don't have to worry is that God has already won the day. Thanks be to God.